Welcome to the Minivate Gang Podcast, episode 130. I'm Steve Borsch, and I'm on with Tim Elliott.
Hey, good morning.
Graham Thickens.
Hello, guys.
Phil Wilson.
Hello.
And Julio Ojeda Zapata.
Good morning.
How are you gentlemen doing?
Excellent. Great.
Awesome.
Excellent. Good, good, good.
I've got swamp ass. I'm
sorry. Yeah, Phil's, your air conditioning out?
Air conditioning went out, so I'm getting a new one put in, and it's not happening fast enough.
Oh, man. I'm sorry to hear that, buddy.
That's
the way it goes. So this week, lots of stuff going on, and the biggest buzz is what, no pun intended, which should have been the buzz about Google Buzz, but is now buzzing about Google Plus, the whole debut. And so, Julio, you're in, right?
Yeah, I've been using it for a little bit. I think it has potential.
Yeah, I got in luckily night before last and have invited everybody that I know, including my buddies here on the gang. Phil, you got in?
I got in last night, yeah, yesterday afternoon. So okay. I played with it a little bit. I tried to, set up a hangout yesterday. And so I struggled with that a little bit. But other than that.
Yeah, me too.
I agree with Julio. It's got some potential.
Well, okay, so here's the question, though.
Tim, did you get in? We tried to get Tim in and Graham in yesterday, too.
I finally got one of the invites, but when you go there, it says that they're over capacity. So
still, all right.
I woke up this morning to see my invite from you, Steve, but it's funny. It said both you and Mike Maney had invited me, who's a PR buddy of mine out in Philly. So it's like, I got one email telling me you'd both invited me, but I haven't had a chance to play with it yet.
Well, Google doesn't like to waste paper on too many emails.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah,
yeah, no kidding. Well, but what's going on with these guys? Because it's they're going to rebrand Picasa and some other stuff. They got a new Gmail look. They showed something called Cosmic Panda yesterday, which is a new look for YouTube. They're actually getting their design sense together.
They also revamped the look and feel of a Blogger.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Huh. I'll have to go check that out. Do you like it?
Play with it just a teeny bit, but it's they're basically, I think they're shooting for a somewhat similar look and feel across all of their properties. And Blogger was overdue for a visual overhaul, as was YouTube, and so that's a good move on their part, I think.
I haven't had a chance to put it in yet, but I guess there's a Chrome template that makes Google Plus look like Facebook. I haven't had a chance to play with that yet.
God, who would want to do that?
Yeah, really?
How funny.
Just out of curiosity, you iPhone guys?
Yes.
Do you have an app yet?
Oh, no, stop. It's apparently winding its way.
Yeah. Android has one.
You're kidding.
No, it's it actually works quite nicely, I might add.
Wow.
Oh, Mr. Borsch.
I know. I'm sure it's coming.
It's got to be like one of the first times I actually get to say, hey, I got an app that you don't have.
Yeah, the only Plus time, app too. For the iPhone apparently is in the app store review process right now.
And I'm sure Apple's just really working hard to get that done.
Yeah, but but Phil, let me ask you this.
What?
Do you have the Turbo Vibrator app?
Actually, I have.
It's called Fun with Pockets.
The dildonics discussion comes up once again.
Yeah, here's Tim hanging in the background saying, I can't believe these guys are talking.
I know, it always comes up for. Yeah.
Why does that? Every time we talk about an app.
I don't know, it's Steve.
Oh, well, we could talk about the Apple 15 billion downloads of apps. I got to tell you that I went over to Best Buy the other day and they've got like 5 end caps of tablets. They got every tablet made. Very impressive showing. And I spent some time with the Samsung Android tablet. And I got to tell you, it is really, really nice. Very impressed.
Well, the hardware.
You need to go a little further on your, because there's this little trap door with Steve. So just go ahead and go a little further with your overview of the tablet.
Well, there are no apps. Well, okay, I'll go a little further. The Google-centric apps are awesome. And since my life is Google, I mean, I'm on, you know, using all of Google's stuff, it seems. The experience was better with Google-centric stuff on Android than it is on the iPad, in my estimation.
And
now, when it comes to everything else, I mean, there are not a lot of apps, so that's my qualifier.
There's the trap door, and nothing else.
It's true. I mean, I'm an Android user, and I look at all these tablets, and I think the hardware is finally caught up to be at least competitive with the iPad.
Yeah.
But the software is so far behind, I can't imagine buying one of these things if the price is the same. If it's half price, that's another deal, but I don't see any of them for half price yet.
Well, that's pretty much what everybody has been saying. As a new tablet comes out, every so often a new tablet will hit the market, and you know, you just wait for them to say, well, this is the one you could get besides the iPad. But nobody comes to that point of saying, yes, this is better, but it's still not better than the iPad.
Well, see, that's the issue. Is the, you know, if you're going to stand there at the Best Buy end cap and you're going to say, I'm going to buy a tablet, and I've got $499 to spend. There are three that fit that bill, actually four, because one's discounted to $499. So you have choice of four. Which one are you going to choose? Most people are going to walk over and choose the iPad because there are so many apps. But I think that gap's going to close. I really do. I think that there's going to be more cross-platform tools that get better and better. And I know, Tim, you'd argue with that.
Strange thing is happening. When Android phones came on the market, they just became a locomotive. You know, on the phone front, Android is rocking and rolling, and I kept saying to myself, okay, this is going to happen on the tablets. This is going to happen on the tablets. Just you wait and see. And it's a very strange thing. It's not happening at all, and I'm starting to wonder if this is more like iPods. I mean, everybody tried to catch up with the iPods, and no one ever did. And I'm scratching my head here and starting to think, you know, the same thing might happen on the tablet front. Apple potentially may have this market pretty much locked up, you know, we'll see. But it's just the whole Android phone juggernaut thing is just not happening on the tablets, at least for now.
I think it's like the
iPod, though. I mean, there were plenty of other MP3 players, and no one did it as well as Apple, and no one's really caught up. So the only way they could sell it is on price. So, you know, I think that SanDisk has developed a market for for MP3 players that are just less expensive and maybe have different form factors, but they're the only ones that have developed anything that's competitive with the iPad or the iPod. So the same thing.
I've never seen one of those in the wild, though.
Yeah, the same thing's happening with with tablets. It's not a tablet market; it's an iPad market. Mm-hmm. And because Apple has such a lead, I can't imagine, you know, anyone catching up. So, you know, Julio, have you played with the HP touchpad yet?
Yeah, I have one. I've been playing. I'm on vacation. I've been sort of playing with it, you know, on my porch here while I sip a Dos Equis. And
wow,
at 8:15 in the morning. Wow.
And, you know, as an aside, I tweeted the other day, you know, after a lifetime of ambivalence, if not outright loathing, it suddenly dawned on me that, wait for it, I like beer.
What a concept.
But anyway, yeah, the touchpad is an interesting device because it has the web OS. The web OS is very, very nice. So with a little card paradigm, with a little apps that are in the shapes of cards that you can sort of flip up when you're not using them. And the web OS is very, very nice, but the hardware is terrible. It's a very thick, plasticky device. The back, you know, is a fingerprint magnet. The hardware's a little sluggish, and the app situation for webOS is even worse than that for Android. And you know, I put it on par with RIM. the app availability, you know, just isn't there. And as one of you guys just said, you know, it's really all about the app. If you're going to buy a tablet, I mean, the hardware is, you know, the hardware may be fine, but you know, if you have hundreds of apps on the one hand, and you know, tens of thousands of apps on the other hand, I mean, your choice is clear. So I sort of like webOS. I'm not crazy about the touchpad hardware. And it's just app-wise, it's just a wasteland, and so there's just what's the point?
Will there be a push for apps for the enterprise in webOS? What are you guys hearing or reading? I mean, what's HP doing in the way of trying to get some sort of an ecosystem?
Well, supposedly going? I mean, that's exactly what they're doing. Is they're focusing that tablet on the enterprise, and that they're not going to play in the general marketplace.
Consumer.
But who knows? The thing that amazed me was, and you guys probably saw this, but the Quora article that everybody jumped on, where there was some anonymous user who talked about Apple's advantages in the supply chain and how they're using their cash hoard to help pay for the construction cost of a factory in exchange for exclusive rights to the output production of that factory for some period of time. So I read through that, and you know, it's been obvious for some time when, you know, Apple cornered the market on flash memory at one point for iPods, so nobody could compete with them, and they've done the same thing now with touch screens and so on. And I'm convinced that they priced this line of iPad tablets at a price where they knew no one could really compete on price. Because the raw cost, you know, everybody's got to have X amount of gross margin, and they had to simply price them roughly the same. And that gave Apple even, I think, a further first mover advantage.
Yep, more margin so they can hoard even more cash.
Yeah.
Yep. It's hard to see that changing. I mean, it really is. They've got such a hoard now. What are they saying? They're headed towards $75 billion in cash now.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at that, when you buy the stock, I don't know how much is in that. What is it? $360 a share now. I don't know how much of that you're basically getting cash, but you know, it may not be a big percentage. But the point is, they just keep hoarding more and more. Yes, that's how they appear to be using it. They're not using it to make big acquisitions. Although I still think something's going to come, you know, some more of that acquisition stuff is bound to happen too, but probably not a big, gigantic acquisition. They tend to do smaller ones. The biggest one I can think of off the top of my head was maybe Siri for $250 million or something like that. But
maybe they can pay for my furnace system.
Yeah.
Hey guys, okay, help us out. We talk about Apple all the time. How about you fix this up?
Right. Yeah. Buy Minovate. No, first buy the brain.
Buy Minovate.
Buy the brain trust behind iPad Means Business, and then buy Minovate.
No. Other way around. I love Julio, but.
All right. All right. So let's briefly, and then we'll bring Tom Sweeney on, our guest from Visiting Hours, and we'll talk about that. But the last thing is this Facebook Skype thing. And it's ironic that, of course, Google Plus comes out with Hangouts at the same time that Facebook Skype lands. But at the end of the day, I got to tell you, I know so many people in my family that are so clueless about web apps and what's going on, and use basically nothing except Facebook. And it really looks like, in fact, there's an article I'll post in the show notes about Microsoft's savvy investment about Skype. And now Skype is right dead center in the middle of 750 million potential users. What do you guys think about that, Phil? What do you, I mean, you're a Skype lover.
Well, I think it's going to be very interesting to see what happens. You know, my guess is that, and again, this is just a guess, but I'd be willing to bet they're not quite as far along as integrating Skype into Facebook as they'd like to be. But when Google Plus comes out, they've got to put something out there just to say, hey, you know, we're in this too. But at the same time, I've always believed you always do better, you know, basically hunting where the ducks are, and the ducks are at Facebook. Like you said, there's all of these people already there. Google is still somewhat of a geeky thing beyond search. So I think that there's a definite advantage for Facebook and Skype. And I think it's an incredible, and Steve, you and I were talking about this yesterday, about Microsoft. And this is their very low-key play into getting very, watch out. That's got to be something with Julio.
Close encounters. The aliens are coming.
That's my iPhone. It's my ringtone. Ah!
But I think this is a coup for Microsoft, because now they have a piece of a stake in all of these eyeballs and eardrums. So I think it's a great move.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting because I think it's good for everybody. It's good for Facebook. It's really good for Skype because it, you know, it gives them a lot more potential customers. And with Microsoft, it's, you know, it just continues to expand their presence where they're right. Where they're not right now.
Right, right. Well, I'll tell you, it's a good segue into our guest, because our guest is Tom Sweeney with a new startup called Visiting Hours. O-U-R-S, not H-O-U-R-S. And Phil, you know more about the value proposition of Visiting Hours than any of us. And so maybe you can lead off with Tom. Should I bring him on?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead. While you're doing that, Steve, just for full disclosure, I work with Tom a little bit on this. We developed a site for him and that sort of a thing. But there he is. Tom is one of those guys that is doing this on pure passion. So believe me, there's no money exchanging hands. So
all right,
I'll just let you know that. But
I think he's on. Tom,
yeah,
are you
Tom,
on?
How are you, sir?
I'm great. How are you?
I was just doing my full disclosure thing. So, Tom, I met a few years ago in the job network world. And Tom, tell us a little bit about first yourself and then what drew you to launch Visiting Hours.
Sure. Well, I've been in publishing all my life and more recently in digital publishing and in the healthcare space for the past couple of years. First with Minnesota Physician Publishing here in Minneapolis, and then with MedCity Media based in Cleveland, and started to develop quite a few contacts at places like Mayo Clinic and so forth, decided to launch this Visiting Hours initiative based more on personal experience in my family and with some volunteer work that I've been doing in nursing homes and assisted living homes.
Gotcha. So tell us a little bit more about, why you were moved to really move into this space, because sure. I think it's a brilliant space. I have a mother who is really not that far away, but I would like to see more of. So this will be interesting to see how this develops as it's built. So tell me a little bit about that passion that's driving you on this.
Sure. Well, I tend to take inspiration when things go wrong or there are problems. In this case, it was my brother dying back in 2007. Roger had always been real healthy. He was just 58 years old, but he developed a rare form of cancer. And so when I heard he lived in Rhode Island and I'm here in Minnesota. So when I heard the diagnosis, I bought him a webcam for his computer. And so that we could video chat, and we started doing that almost daily, and we probably spoke more than we had in 20 years, because I've always lived away from my family for various jobs. And little did we know, 3 months later, he would die. I think back of all the time that we spent video chatting over those 3 months, and it was really precious time. Meanwhile, I do some volunteer work in nursing homes and assisted living homes. based on an experience with my dad. Back in 2003, my dad died, and he had cancer as well. And in the final year of his life, you know, I visited him in Rhode Island every 6 weeks or so, but it really wasn't enough. So I started volunteering here in the nursing homes, figuring, you know, if you can't be the one you love, you know, help somebody closer to home. So I started through my church visiting elderly men in nursing homes. And so I put the two together and I said, well, you know, if we can use Skype to bring families and loved ones together as, you know, the bigger service, let's do that. The challenge became finding the volunteers to provide the service. And so we decided to use volunteer corps from high schools, youth volunteers to serve as facilitators. And the way that visiting hours works is that we go to an assisted living home with laptop computers and mobile broadband cards, facilitate a Skype session so that the elderly person can visit with loved ones who live far away. And they don't need to own a computer. They don't need to understand anything about the internet. They don't need to have an internet connection. We do everything for them.
That's you know what? Let me just interrupt, because I think that is absolutely fabulous. I've had personal experiences with my dad. Same sort of thing. We talked a little bit about this yesterday, Tom. But the one thing that I thought was just fascinating is, here's my dad at 85, and he was recovering from some surgery, and I was over there, and I'm Skype chatting with my wife, and then we get on video. My dad's napping, and he kind of came to, and I walked over with my laptop, and here he is looking at my wife sitting in her hotel room. And they start chatting, you know, and she's like, oh, Bill, how are you? You know, and so on. And all of a sudden he says, where are you? She says, well, I'm in Paris. And he's like, well, you're where? And he just literally conceptually couldn't get it, but it didn't matter. And then when we got off, he kept saying over and over and over again, that's just amazing. That's amazing. Yeah. But I mean, how important is that? To be able to see one another and have that level of interaction.
Yeah. And, you know, we did a 6-month pilot program with Ekumen at one of their facilities called Lakeview Commons. You know, my deal, again, no money changing hands or whatever, but I said, like,
we'll figure it out sometime, right?
Yeah. Well, I just said, I have this idea. And I was really inspired when I was at the Mayo Clinic at their Transform conference last year, and I started talking to really top people in the business and told them my concept. And they said, this is a great idea. You need to do this. Let me know how I can help. And so one of the people I spoke to was Kathleen Harrington, who had been the chairperson of the Minnesota Board on Aging. And she said, why don't you contact Eric Schubert at Ekumen, you know? Ekumen's known for innovation, and they might be interested in this idea. So I did present the concept at Ekumen, and they said, this is a great idea. Let's do it. So they benchmarked some people and gave me the names and contact information for their family members. And I contacted the families and said, how would you like the service? It's free. And so we started doing it, and we did it for 6 months. And after 6 months, 75% of the people that we worked with actually showed improved outcomes on the 5 criteria that they measured.
Wow.
So it's not just, this makes people feel good. It's great for the grandchildren who get to talk to their grandparents.
Yeah. And
it's great for the older people because they get to engage and reconnect with their families. But I'm not saying there's scientific evidence, but there seems to be at least anecdotal evidence that it actually even improves well-being.
Well, and you know what? When you think about the fact, then you know these demographics, but 76 million children were born between 1945 and 1964, the classic baby boomer explosion. And because of my dad and the stuff he's going through, my level of understanding about what's happening with in-home care and, you know, with all the budget constraints and everything else, more and more of that gigantic number of baby boomers are going to have to stay at home. And so, which means they're going to be more isolated socially, which means they're going to potentially, it's going to be more challenging to, you know, connect with healthcare providers and so on. But if people can, if it can go to the next step and it's simple for people to be able to get connected and to see one another, it's really gonna help.
Well, you know, it's like this story about when you're holding a hammer, everything looks like a nail. And I think that we get into technology so much that we're saying every solution has to be a technology solution. And, you know, this is a broader view of things.
And I think that's the beauty of it, Tom. That's the thing that really excites me, because as much as I love the concept of technology and social media and that sort of a thing, the ability to actually have a young person visit an older person and form that forever, however brief that bond is, to facilitate this, I think that's the beauty of it.
Yeah. Well, this is all about bringing not only families together, but bringing generations together. And we certainly do that with the video chatting side of the service, but we also do it with the volunteers. We didn't choose youth volunteers by accident. It really speaks to the mission of bringing young and old together. Again, I go back to my family. I was very close to my grandparents. We all lived in the same town, but ever since college, I've moved away. And of course, my own children didn't have as close a relationship with their grandparents because we never lived nearby. And this is the way youth volunteers with the elderly clients and then the elderly clients connecting with their grandchildren. So I think it's helping everyone. You know, so one Tom, of the, go ahead.
No, go ahead, Tom, finish.
Well, you know, when I was with Med City Media, Amanda Todorovich over there had a saying, and it was rock what you've got. You know, it's kind of like the Marines, go with what you've got. And, you know, I believe that someday video phones will be common and they'll be affordable. And making a video call, if you choose to, will be as easy as making a phone call. But we're not there right now. And my philosophy is don't wait. You know, what do you have? What tools do you have? And can you make it work? And so we've got these high schools who have volunteer corps and so forth. My first relationship is with Benilde St. Margaret in St. Louis Park. They have a group called the Red Knights Volunteer Corps, and they also have a services class that juniors take, and they donate 50 hours for community service. And, you know, I was speaking with Lisa Lenhart Murphy and Zach Zexer there, and they're interested in committing the students of Benilde St. Margaret to serve as these on-site facilitators. And the great thing about youth is they're tech savvy, they get it. So they're not only, you know, need to do this volunteer service, but they're going to be good at it. And it's going to give them contact with older people. But in terms of, you know, technology troubleshooting or whatever, you know, they have that down. So it's a great resource.
Tom, let's kind of wrap up a little bit with just give us a quick little overview of where you see this going and what are some of the short term goals right now.
Sure. Well, you know, my goal is to hopefully raise some capital and be able to expand the service, whether that's through a grant or investment or whatever. I'd like to start in Minnesota with assisted living homes, expand to nursing homes and hospitals, and eventually to even people living at home, and then to move into other states as well. From my jobs in the past, I've managed sales forces, so I actually have salespeople in other states that I can rely on who are big supporters as well. So hopefully that will help me expand it to other states. We have had discussions with the James J. Hill Library. They're starting an innovation incubator in September. I had good conversation with Tom Triplett there. He's a big fan of considering healthy aging and independent living as one of the areas they support, and perhaps that will include involvement with Visiting Hours.
So here's a suggestion. Not that you need any suggestions, but as long as you're there with a laptop and you've got a webcam, I absolutely love listening to seniors tell stories. And to have them tell a story about the impact of Visiting Hours, you know, so what did this mean to you to be able to talk to your granddaughter over in Italy, and capture that story?
Yeah, well, actually, that is part of the service.
Is it? Okay.
When we came up with the original business model, and we figured out where will the revenue come from. We thought that after someone is five or six visits in, we will say, would you like to create a memory video of a keepsake visit video where maybe the grandson or granddaughter is interviewing the grandparent. We might coach with some questions that would be good to ask. And then we would record it and professionally edit it and then be able to sell that to the families if they're interested. So there's no obligation, but yep. It's something they want. And when I've mentioned that to even the clients I've worked with so far, that's been something that's of great appeal.
Very cool.
Yeah, Julio here. One question, video chatting on tablet-like devices is coming on strong. I mean, Skype is about to release an app for the iPad, and you know we all know that there's sort of a comfort level and intimacy with the iPad and tablets that isn't quite there on the laptop. Does that sort of figure into your tech plans? Do you see some potential in making your service sort of more intimate and friendly by harnessing such devices?
We're really agnostic in terms of the platform. We have decided early on that the monitor size has to be big enough. We typically, when we go into an assisted living home, we will initiate using mostly Skype. We initiate the Skype session out in the lobby. We knock on the door. The elderly person comes to the door. They're looking at their daughter or son or grandchild right in the eye. We put the laptop computer on the kitchen table. We set up the angle, and we wait outside for 25 minutes. In the initial phase, it's again, go with what you've got. So, I have laptop computers and mobile broadband cards. So we use that. And, we are looking for a technology partner. Have had some discussions with Best Buy to see if there's an opportunity for Best Buy to be involved to promote some even better technology going forward. So certainly I see tablets as the technology evolves, we will evolve. I do have a philosophy of going to the families. We want to make it as easy as possible for the families. So we will use Skype or Yahoo Messenger or GChat, the new advancement now with group video chatting with Facebook and with Google Plus is pretty exciting. To get more family members on at the same time with Skype right now, that has been a premium service, so we haven't done it, but certainly could see that. I mean, the other thing is if we're using youth volunteers love the newest technology, so we're probably going to need to move in that direction, if nothing else, to motivate them.
Well, it sounds great, Tom. Thanks very much. We appreciate you giving us a little scoop on Visiting Hours. You can check it out at visiting-hours.com or .org, right?
Yes.
Either way.
Great.
Thanks very much, Tom.
Keep us informed with what's going on, will you?
Okay.
Thanks, Tom. Bye. Bye-bye.
I really love that concept. That's what drawn me to this is, the interaction with my mom and seeing her visibly shake when she goes into an Apple store because she has, the amount of technology is overwhelming. And I think this being able to bridge generations is, I think it's a brilliant, brilliant concept.
Well, again,
there's a lot of potential with the iPad, I think, for something
I agree.
Like this.
I agree. Yeah. The more mobile our technology gets, the easier this will be.
Every time I go into the Apple store, I see, someone with their 80-year-old parent or parents, and to see them using the iPad is really amazing. I mean, they just get right into it, So, yeah, that is definitely a form factor for something like this.
No kidding. So,
well, I remember taking my mom into that Apple store and Steve, your daughter, Liz, was just great at guiding her through. Okay, yeah. This is basically how word processing works. This is a woman who still struggles with the fax machine. So it's she was great at that. And so,
yeah. Say what Phil, one question I was going to ask. Tom mentioned he's out raising money. Has he formed an LLC, or is this a for-profit then?
Well, or I think it's still kind of in the discussion stage, yeah, as to how he wants to do it. I mean, I think he ultimately wants to have some sort of way of making a living doing this. There's no doubt about that. Mm-hmm. Whether that's through a 501 concept or an LLC or something, we'll see. Have to see what happens, I guess.
Well, and you know, there's a good friend of ours, Mary Jo Schiffsky, that runs a nonprofit called StoreToDoor.org, and it's people that, you know, volunteers take orders, grocery orders, and their partners Super Value, so they go through Cub Foods, and they basically buy what the senior needs or this shut-in, and they drive it over to their house, and there's a $5 delivery fee, and they put the groceries away and check everything off and so forth. And they've got, hundreds of seniors that are taking advantage of this. And I look at that and just as what a great service. Same thing with visiting hours. You know, it's not just, I see it going beyond, a nursing home or a care facility of some kind. And again, I'll come back to the in-home stuff. It's got a lot of opportunity.
I agree.
And a lot of need.
Yeah. Well, we were just talking earlier about, this extra cash that's floating around some of these huge corporations, the Googles, the Apples, the Facebooks. Here it is, folks. I mean, guys, this is where you can give back. I mean, flaunt your technology and fund projects like this or companies like this and, give back. So.
Yeah. Well, Julio, the whole thing with tablets is, we've looked at the tablet explosion in a lot of ways. I mentioned at the earlier part of the show about the four end caps that I saw in the Best Buy store.
Oh, yeah. Remember, Steve, sometimes these people are buying those end caps. I don't know. I can't tell you that for sure, that Best Buy is, selling off end cap space, but that's valuable real estate.
Well, it is. And I would agree that possibility exists. But I will tell you that if I was Best Buy, I'd be doing the same thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. But Julio, when you look at this, are there, I've seen a couple of stories on the power of the iPad with seniors. Are you seeing more sorts of stories like that or people using it as a communications device?
Yeah, I see. I'm sorry, you're talking about the video conferencing or?
Yeah, well, I mean, video specifically, FaceTime or Skype. Well, Skype's not out on the iPad yet, but.
It is on the Android.
I see a number of things happening. I hear anecdotally, or I witness myself, the ease with which people that are generally technophobic sort of get into the iPad. Like my mother's a good example. She visited during Christmas, and she's not much of a gamer, but we just plopped an iPad on her lap, and she started, playing Angry Birds, and it was really remarkable to watch. And I also, I hear anecdotally, and I'm also directly aware of situations where people increasingly are making the iPad their only computer. They don't have any other computer. The iPad is their computer, and that is, that is starting to happen more and more, and that will really accelerate once the new iOS comes out. iPads no longer have any reason whatsoever to be connected to another computer. They will be their own computer. And so that process will accelerate. So the accessibility, the ease of use is one factor. The fact that this device is powerful and flexible to be your only computer. And then the whole FaceTime thing is, at that point, this whole FaceTime video conferencing situation is going to accelerate. Skype is about to release an app for the iPad. Yeah. There's Apple's FaceTime. Google's Hangout feature is mobile friendly. I think it only works with Android right now, but at some point I expect it to work with the iPad as well. So when you pull all of these factors together, you have the potential of just a major impact on seniors, on people, older people that are generally not very tech savvy, but they're going to embrace all of stuff, and some really amazing things are going to happen.
Yeah. Well, and I should throw this in because I just read this, that your mom just won the Mortal Kombat exhibition. Is that...
She's a big she's a big Duke Nukem Forever fan.
No? All right. Well. Well, it's interesting because we're going to be traveling to Germany, and I'm looking at using just the iPad and not taking my MacBook Air. And so I've gotten the thing pretty configured. And the only, I mean, there are a couple of things that I want, which is the Skype for iPad, but also a Google Plus for iPad. And then supposedly Facebook's going to have a new app for iPad. There are a couple that are out there, but they kind of blow. But
make sure you get a camera connection kit, Steve.
I already have one. Yep. Oh, okay. So I can dump my my images on there, except for the fact that I shoot in raw JPEG. So it won't suck in the raw images. So that's, I don't know what I'm going to do.
iFi. Anyway. Get an 8 gig iFi.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you going to have iOS 5 on it?
Yeah. If it, depending on when it ships.
Okay.
So we'll see when it ships, but,
Say, Steve, speaking of add-ons for the iPad, did you see Mossberg's piece on the extra storage for tablets on the go?
No.
You know, the Seagate, I just sent you the link. What do they call it? The Seagate GoFlex satellite. Unfortunately, it didn't get a really great review. I think these things are still in the early stages, but this is going to enable you to stream all kinds of stuff to your iPad.
Oh, is this the one where you can put your media on it?
Yeah, it's a big time.
I did see that. Yeah.
Yeah, I have this drive here. I'm playing with it right now, and
really?
The idea is it's basically a hard drive, but it has built-in Wi-Fi capabilities. Essentially, it becomes its own little mini Wi-Fi network.
Right.
Yeah, so it basically broadcasts its availability via Wi-Fi, and then your computer, your iPad creates a connection to it, and then any media on this portable hard drive can be viewed on the iPad, like photos, movies, and so forth.
Oh, wow.
And it's a very interesting idea, and I'm having a lot of trouble getting it to work properly. I'm kind of yanking my hair out. It's really annoying the hell out of me.
Yeah, Mossberg said some things like that too. But apparently, there's an iPad app and an Android app that
you
get a companion app. And there's a competitor coming out later this month called the G Connect from Hitachi, and both cost around $200 for 500 gigs of content.
Mm.
No. Does it work? It's really huge because that essentially sort of blows out your storage limitations. So if you're out and about,
right,
with your iPad, you know, the iPad has very little onboard storage. But if you have this drive along, your possibilities essentially become limitless.
Well, that's interesting I bought the 64 gig original iPad specifically so I'd have space to put media on it. And it's still, you know, I'm just a little over halfway full, and so I got a lot of space for our trip left over. But this means I could buy a less expensive iPad 2 or iPad 3 or, you know, whatever comes out next with less storage because I could have one of these devices.
Right. Get the 16.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
that's what I did.
Well, it's interesting because my doc at their clinic, they've got, a dozen doctors in this clinic, are looking at the iPad just for the docs, and because everything they need is on the server and they can use it with a browser, they're going to buy just the 16 gigs. And so, you know, it's, he says, you know, we just don't need all the storage. So I thought that was kind of interesting.
Yep.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what happens once the iCloud comes out. It seems like a calculated move, this whole, using the cloud just for replication, to get people to buy larger storage devices.
Huh.
You know, where it seems like the Android side of things is going to streaming, so you don't really need that much onboard storage.
Right.
It seems like Apple's going the other way, where you do need some storage because you're going to be replicating your documents and all your music and stuff through the iCloud.
Well, one more thing about that, you know, I would originally have argued dramatically with you, or significantly, whatever the right adverb is, on whether or not that's a good strategy. But now that we're going to be traveling, I'm looking at options, studying options for Wi-Fi access and so mm-hmm. forth. And I don't know if you ever read the Fred Wilson, the VC's column about or his post about how just pissed off he was that he went there with his wife and kids, and he had given his kids an allowance for the 30 days that they were going to be in Europe. They gave, I don't remember, it was like $250 worth of minutes or something, or, you know, data connections or whatever. And they blew through that in 2 days. And you know, he was going on and on about, you know, these mobile companies need to get their act together. They need to figure this out. Because when you travel abroad, you basically, like he does, he turns Wi-Fi on his phone and he shuts down the data connection. So on the iPhone, you put it in airplane mode, but you leave Wi-Fi on. You physically turn Wi-Fi on and just not have any possibility of having anything pushed to you or, you know, any kind of data roaming at all. And but I've seen two articles now come out. One is, the mobile companies in Europe are getting together to slightly reduce the roaming charges, because if you're on the German border, you might accidentally roam with Poland and then suddenly get a book or a bill that's, you know, 300 euros or something. And the other thing is the Wi-Fi companies are all sort of banding together to dramatically make Wi-Fi cheaper and more accessible. So there's not this constant connection fee and so forth. We're going to go with Boingo.com, and we can go anywhere that there's a hotspot, even a commercial one, and get on. Sure. So it's getting easier. So to your point, Tim, I think streaming is not a bad idea.
No, it's not. It's just interesting to see Apple going in an opposite direction that everybody else is.
Yeah.
Which is not surprising. It's just, you know, it seems like their plan is to get people to buy more expensive, higher capacity devices, where everybody else is, you know, moving the media to the cloud, and then you pull it off as you need it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, Tim, I think I have to take issue with you on that. I think Apple is not in the mindset that it wants people to buy higher capacity devices. I think it's going, in my opinion, it's going in the other direction. It's moving towards like MacBook Air laptops that have solid-state storage, and that solid-state storage is more limited than the hard drives on other computers. Quite frankly, I think it's moving in the opposite direction, and the reason iCloud helps them do that is because then people can sort of have all their media in the cloud instead of on their devices, and then selectively pull down whatever content they want to various devices, so they no longer have to carry all of their stuff on devices. All of their stuff is in the cloud, and they can very selectively, you know, pull it down. So I see your point, but I take issue with it. I think Apple's mindset is completely opposite from what you're saying.
Well, we'll see. Hmm.
But then there are those that say Apple's all about good software and good user experience, but the ultimate point is to sell more hardware. You know, I mean,
I know. But where I agree with Tim is Apple is not cloud centric the way Google is. Google is all about the web. Apple is cloud centric in the sense that the cloud serves local apps. You know, local software, software on your Mac, software on your mobile device. You're not doing anything in the browser. Like, for instance, you're using Pages on your Mac, you're using Pages on your iPad, you're using Pages on your iPhone, and those are all dedicated apps, and they now have cloud-like capabilities in that content can sync, you know, across all the various iterations of Pages, but it's cloud. The cloud is serving, you know, the computer and applications loaded on the computer. So it's a desktop hardware, local centric approach as it has always been, but with some cloud based capabilities sort of grafted on to it. So in that sense, yes, absolutely, the Apple wants to sell you more fancy hardware, and it's offering its cloud based services as a way to promote that.
Say, before we finish up here with upcoming events, Julio, weren't you at some meetup about the iPad or about tablet publishing or something?
Yeah, our good friend Jala Carson organizes periodic Java as in coffee meetups. Discuss various tech topics, and the one yesterday at St. Anthony, Maine was tablet focused. So a bunch of folks, including our good friend Breon and some other folks, were there as a panel. I was on the panel, and we were each of us was tasked with promoting one particular tablet. And I bet you can probably guess which tablet I talked about.
It was the HP touchpad.
wasn't it the BlackBerry tablet?
It's a BlackBerry tablet.
That RIM tablet. Yeah, and so
that was fun. It sort of became a free for all discussion, and the people on the panel who were in the Android camp, had a little fun, so sort of poking fun at me, and I gave back as good as I got, and and what was interesting about this gathering, it was a very well attended gathering. More people showed up than I expected, and what I found interesting about this gathering is the hunger that I detected in the audience to learn. I mean, a lot. Missy Berggren, who we all know, is one example. I mean, she was telling me via Twitter that her kids used her iPad more than she does, and she has this hunger to learn how this tablet can be more useful to her in a business capacity. And there was a lot of that in the audience. I mean, just people, they're fascinated with tablets, they have tablets, they're using tablets, but they know they can get more out of these devices. And so there's this great appetite, to learn about this stuff. And, I hear them, and as a follow-up to that meetup, I'm planning a comprehensive blog post on all the apps that I have come to rely on in a productivity capacity. Especially, my greatest hits in terms of using iPad for productivity. So that I'm on vacation right now. I'll get back to work next week. I'm gonna get working on that post.
That's great. I just want to mention one technology that gets short shrift with all the screen stuff. And I'm holding it in my hand right now, and it's a microfiber microfiber cloth. Stop, Phil. No innuendo, please. It's a microfiber cloth, and somebody said to me in a coffee shop the other day, "Do you carry that with you all the time?" I said, "Yeah."
Oh, yeah.
I'm wiping off my iPhone and my iPad, and I wipe off the screen on my MacBook Air, and maybe I'm anal, but I also wipe off my glasses with it. And it's become one of the most useful technologies that I own.
I love the ones that you can put your two fingers in and kind of they're those little like nubby things, that micro nubby things. And I love using that one.
I haven't seen that at Walmart. Huh. No, I have not seen that.
Yeah, little microfiber
nubby things.
You stick it on your two fingers, your index and your middle finger, and you just rub it all over, and it's great.
That sounds so wrong. Put it on your middle finger and rub it all over. Okay,
the little nubby things.
Yeah.
They're sort of chartreuse green, sort of neon.
Yeah. All right.
In the words of Garth from Wayne's World, ribbed for her pleasure.
Oh my gosh! All right. Hey, there's not much going on with events other than Minneapolis St. Paul WordPress next or when, Tim? When is that?
The 28th of July.
28th of July. Is that a Thursday again?
Yep.
Okay.
I went to the last one. It was great. Tim, where were you? I went to the last one. It was great. We talked about security. It was just a wonderful.
I wish I'd gone to that. But this one that's coming up is on Gravity Forms, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
And for those that don't, for anyone that's listening that uses WordPress, absolutely positively go look at Gravity Forms. It is phenomenal. And in fact, because you can create conditional forms and all of that, one of the things that they're working on right now is a form that will allow external people to upload to your Dropbox. And that's something I want desperately, because I've got clients that send me stuff all the time and they don't get sharing Dropbox and, you know, blah, 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 or they'll put huge files in there. And this way you can just have them uploaded, which is pretty sweet.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it bypasses the typical 7 megabyte or in some cases 2 megabyte upload limit that PHP has on it with a lot of these web hosts. And so it just bypasses that and it shoves it right in your Dropbox in some folder you've designated. Stop. Phil, you are naughty.
It's just naughty. It's one of those things that, you know, we started it with the little nubby things. Now everything just sounds dirty.
That's right.
It would probably be best for me, my family, for us to close.
It is. Okay. All right. Well, thank you for being on, and thanks for you listening out there to the Minervate Gang podcast.
Back next week.
All righty. Take care, gentlemen.
You too.
Bye-bye. See ya.